Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Saving with Steve Show. We have well over 600,000 listeners here in the United States. We continue to expand over the UK Health Radio Network, great syndication group. We have over 50,000 listeners. We've only been on there for a short period of time, so we're very excited about that. We seem to be expanding internationally, which is wonderful. And I just want to thank you. This is the time of the year where you feel thankful, and I appreciate it. So we're definitely talking about some money today. It's that time of year where we start talking about travel, whether you're traveling in January because you want to be somewhere warm, or you're traveling to ski slopes because you want to go skiing. It's travel season. How'd you like to go on vacation and have the vacation of your dreams? Those dream vacations are typically daunting and way beyond many people's budgets. So don't worry. We have Coach Chris here to teach you the insider tips and tips on going on your dream vacation without breaking the bank. And sometimes as much as 90% off. You want to stick around for that interview. Today, I'm also going to be talking about money tips in your 40s. Look, if you're 60, 70, or 80, give it to your kids that are in your 40s. If you're in your 40s, this is just for you. One of the big things that we want to talk about is all the stuff that's going on today. The reality is silence isn't always golden. In fact, staying silent during critical moments can result in missed opportunities, broken relationships, and disastrous decisions. We've all been there. The reality is, beside the digital revolution, we're connecting more, but communicating way less. Don't worry, we have Mary J. Nestor, author of Say It Now, Say It Right, How to Handle Your Tough or Tender Conversations. She's got a wonderful book that provides tips, scripts to help you find your voice, speak out of those critical moments in a way that your message has impact and acceptance. You know what? We're lucky to have Mary here. She's wonderful. Got wonderful insights. Mary began by revealing her own early experience with taking a risk and speaking out in difficult situations. She used her personal journey plus her background in human resources to inform three main principles of effective communication, which is timing, delivery, and motive, and shares compelling stories that illustrate how to put all three principles into practice in a variety of realistic scenarios. You know what? We got Mary to go through that with us. Mary, I want to welcome you to the show. I want to thank you for being here. This is just wonderful.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure is actually all ours because I know how important this is. Even from a guy's perspective, where our emotional acuity is almost zero, and we've all had those conversations that, quite frankly, just didn't go well. Or we've had those relationship things where we didn't really say what we should have said, and it just blew up the whole relationship. Or I've seen this with others where they got passed over for promotions. And I thought to myself, when I first started reading this book, I'm like, I know five or six times where I should have just said this, what I was thinking, because it would have made a difference in the decision my boss made. People need to be here. They need to get this information. So I'm just, sorry, a little too excited.
Oh, that's good. That's okay.
So yeah. I want to start with the very first, most important question that this is what people wrestle with. When to speak up and when to shut up.
Wow, that is the most important question. And I can understand exactly what you're saying about if you had said something, it would have made a big difference to your boss or to your colleagues or yourself even. You said keeping silent is not the best track sometimes. And I was thinking of a situation for myself. And when I started out in my consulting business back in 92, I was doing a lot of writing also. I had this great idea for Me, Inc. Everything was about yourself and being yourself and putting yourself out there. And I thought, what a great idea. You know, what a great tagline. And I never did anything with it. And so it was probably a couple of months later, I bought a Time magazine. And guess what was on the front of it? Me, Inc. And I thought, I should have said something. I should have done something. And, you know, huge opportunities are missed. And it's, you know, for business. And think about all the times you're sitting in meetings, like you say, and you've got this brilliant idea that could save money. It could avoid disasters. Everybody else in the room is thinking about it, but nobody wants to talk up. And it's never said. And then a decision is made and it's a disaster. I have been in so many situations with clients and they don't have the right people in the room, or people are afraid to speak up because they're afraid the last time this guy said it, he got slammed and he's not with us anymore. So you have to do it the right way. You have to find the right timing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of times we are in a situation and then we just blurt something out. And that's not always the best time, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment. So those are times when it's really important. It could save somebody from a disaster. Somebody really needs to hear what you have to say because it's hurting them professionally or personally. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the times when you need to speak up. And then when to shut up. I actually have a chapter in the book, When to Be Silent. And I have a story in my book. A lot of stories are about myself because I did all the wrong things. That's how I'm an expert on this situation. But
that's the best way to figure it out.
Figured it out. I'm still figuring it out. So my son had really bad acne and he was in the, like 16 or 17. You know, that's what happens. But he was a really cool guy. It didn't really bother him. But, you know, his nervous mother is like, oh, my gosh, we got to do something about this. So we went to the dermatologist and he's sitting on the exam table and I'm standing there and the doctor comes in and the doctor starts asking my son, Brad, questions about, oh, when did this start or things like that. And he would ask a question. I would answer. And then the doctor would ask another question. I would chirp up and I would answer. And this happened about 3 or 4 times. And finally, the doctor turned to me and said, Mrs. Nestor, I think your son can speak for himself. And he said it now and said it right, because I needed to hear that. And I've never forgotten that. Of course, it's in my book, but it's very important. Sometimes, and leaders, managers can give a lot of training, but they can become helicopters like parents can, and they never leave their kids alone. And the message you're sending to your staff or your coworkers or anybody or your children is that, I don't think you can handle this. I don't think you can do this. You're not smart enough. I have to run in and save you. It can really destroy that kind of confidence in people. So there are times when the best thing you can do is to stop talking, you know, say what you have to say and then stop. Because then you're giving the message that, you know what, I think you can handle this.
Well, I think that's really important, because when we talk about, you were alluding to the helicopter mom, and we see that a lot nowadays. You even see it in the corporate world. I've had former senior managers that would be like that with certain people. And the message I didn't realize they were saying at that time, even though I was thinking in the back of my mind, is, well, that person can't handle it. That's why he's not allowed to do those things, or he's being constantly corrected. But it's just using a manager and not a leader leading.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, and you just brought up a situation where somebody needed to say it now and say it right to that leader, mm-hmm. to tell them that this is the way they're coming across.
My first part of my career, I was developing businesses overseas and I only answered to one person, which was real easy because he loved what I was doing and it was very easy to have a conversation with him. And the only times he got mad at me, we never really got mad, but he got upset when I screwed things up or my ego was too high. What I mean by that is I thought I could speak Spanish well enough. We went to Spain and they didn't do the deal because they couldn't understand me, which was an ego stupid thing. Yeah. Ooh. But they ended up doing the deal about 3 years later when I brought the translator and they were really happy.
There you go. See, you know, those are situations where had somebody said that earlier and say, hey, Steve, I know you know Spanish and you're a great guy and you're going to make this deal. The better thing would be to bring an interpreter so things go really smoothly.
Actually, my Spanish was very, very good at that time. It's just that when you go to Spain, it's like a proper Spanish. Like when you go to England, it's like the King's English as opposed to our slang. That's where it all got messed up. They thought I was speaking a big time slang. So it was like, so it was just bad. That was my fault. But let's move on to, everybody has that boss that's always correcting everybody, maybe yelling at people. How do they deal with senior person? I've had some pretty straightforward conversations with them. Didn't always go well. What's the best way to do that?
Well, I'll give you a situation that happened to me with my last boss. I was working in human resources and HRD for different organizations. And I had this one boss and he was really a nice guy and he had a very nice office, but he didn't put any chairs in front of his desk purposely because he didn't want people coming in, sitting down, making themselves comfortable. and chit-chatting with him. He was a CFO, so he was, you know, like, tell me the numbers and go away. And that was fine, except when I would go in to talk to him, if we had to discuss something, he's sitting down at his desk, comfortable, and I'm standing there.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And he would just go on as if this was the way it was. And to me, it was uncomfortable. I thought it was rude. He didn't make any overtures to sit down. So that really bothered me. Now, that may be a little thing, but you know, it's the little things that can be built into big things and cause a real separation. So I waited. I could have gone in his office anytime and say, hey, you know, you are rude and this is making me uncomfortable and you should be thinking about you. Well, that's not the right way to do it. So what I did, and one of the part of the say it now is you have to find the right time. So I waited until he was in my office. We were talking about something. So he was on my turf, which made it easier. We were talking about things, having a pleasant conversation, and I found the moment. I just felt that this was the moment to bring it up. And so I said to him, you know, there is something that has been bothering me, and I'm sure it's nothing that you are trying to do or whatever, but it makes me uncomfortable. I would like to share that with you. Would you mind if I shared that with you? And he said, well, no, that's a great way to get into a situation. Start out from your point of view. This is something that has been bothering me. I really would like to talk to you about it. Do you mind if I talk about this now? So, you know, you could get a bunch of different answers, but usually the answer is always yes. And so we did. We talked about it. And I came at it from my point of view. You know, I say in the book, you can always speak your truth. I can say how I feel and how it affects me. And that is perfectly fine. Nobody can really come against that. That's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. So we did that. And he had no idea that bothered me. He had a table with chairs in his office. And I said, you know, what I would like to do. And the other thing is, if you're going to bring up a situation, you have to let the other person know how you wish to be treated. So let them know what your expectations are. And so I said, you know, when we do this, if it's more than a couple of minutes, can we move over to the table and sit down and have a conversation? He goes, well, sure. So after that, every time I was in his office and it went a couple of minutes over, he would stand up and say, oh, Mary, let's go sit down, which was beautiful. The timing has got to be right and you can wait for it. Or if it's urgent, then you want to go in. Then you want to say it right. So use the right words, the right setting, you know, ask for permission. Do you mind if I share this with you? And then be sure your motive is right.
Yes.
That's really important, because if I could have said, huh, well, I'm going to show you up, or I'm going to show you what a jerk you are. Even if I said it right at the right time, your motive, your heart is going to come through. Mm-hmm. Those are the three elements. But that's been very successful for me and for my staff, too.
I just want to end this segment with one phrase. I always tell people, you know what, you get what you allow. And exactly. Having conversations like this allow you to get what you want or to be treated the way you want, which is wonderful. Hey, look, everybody, stick with us for more Saving with Steve. We're going to come back with Mary Jane Nestor. I'm just loving this. I'm eating this all up and actually taking notes. So should you. So we'll be right back. Stick with us.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. If you'd like to get more information or see past episodes, you can always go to thesavingwithsteve.us or follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. Get more financial tips and more. Now we're coming back with Mary Jane Nestor, the author of the book, Say It Now, Say It Right. And we've been having a wonderful conversation. We just finished when to speak up and when to shut up. And this is another thing that once we started putting out that you're going to be on the show, the biggest question is what to say and how to approach a difficult situation. Because I'm telling you from my personal experience, maybe 2 out of 5 times it kind of goes right. And that might be all me. And it's been a long time since I had stuff like that. But in my corporate world, 15, 20 years ago, I've had to have tough conversations, whether it be boss or subordinate. And I'd say 2 of 3, maybe out of 5, it went right. Or I got the result I wanted. I was hoping for somebody that wasn't understood what was going on, but wasn't upset. They understood what was going on, but was very upset, which means I didn't want that. So could you help us with that one?
Yeah, a lot of questions. But let me say those difficult conversations. In my book, I talk about what happens if you don't have those. If you're a manager or a leader and there are things going on, you've got an employee that's not cutting it and he keeps getting shoved from one department to the next and making everybody miserable. Everybody knows it. If you don't address that, you are going to lose your credibility, respect. People are not going to feel like you have their back. They're going to feel like you're not leading. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And people feel like they're adrift instead of having some kind of a real leader. How do you approach that? You know, part of that is what we talked about, is to bring up the subject. Gosh, you know, there's going to be a lot of tough conversations going on in the workplace coming up because of the return to work. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a blog recently about there's a lot of reasons why people are going to be reluctant to go back to work. But one of them is there's issues that 1.5 years ago, when you closed the office door and everybody walked out, there were a lot of unresolved issues, those tough things that were never dealt with. And so now, after 18 months, I have to go back and work with that same boss who was harassing me, or I'm going to work with those coworkers, or is that same guy going to be there who never did his job anyway, and now I've got to work with him again? You know, those are the kind of things that I think leaders and managers are going to be confronted with when they come back, in addition to all those other questions that they have. I think what leaders can do is to create an atmosphere of acceptance where people feel free to speak up. Once you do that, and you can do it verbally, you can call a meeting together and say, you know what? I want everybody to feel comfortable to say what they need to say. And you can even have somebody that will speak up during the meeting to give an example of that. But you really need to create that kind of a culture of say it now, say it right. Otherwise, you're not going to hear about those things as a leader. And that's another big problem that happens with leaders if they don't have people that are comfortable speaking up, is they will never know what's going on.
That's
true. You know, everybody knows what's going on, but the leader in a lot of times, but you need those people, you need those allies that feel comfortable with you so that they can say, hey, you know, this is going on, or this decision may not be the best one. And let me tell you why I think that might be true. The first thing is create that culture of being able to speak freely. One of the suggestions I make in the book is that managers should appoint a devil's advocate for meetings and say, you know what, today Harriet is going to be our devil's advocate. So her job is to come back with opposing viewpoints for what we're talking about. So you set it up in the very beginning of the meeting. So now Harriet has got this position now. I'm supposed to say things that are maybe problems. And you can use that as a way of establishing this culture of being able to speak out. And people will get the idea. You know, Harriet won't be the only one that's sharing ideas in that meeting. Other people are going to feel empowered to say, oh, you know, I don't think from my point of view, this is what could happen. But how about trying this? Companies are shortchanging themselves. There's so many brilliant people that work for you, and they're the experts. So you got to have the right people there, but you also have to, as a leader, to get that group of allies, you know, form those people that are going to help you out and tell you what you need to know. The people that pulled me back and told me, Mary, you're not coming across very well. This person complained about you because of what you said. Those are the people who really, really cared about me. Those are the people that thought I was worthwhile and that I had potential, because they took the time and they took the risk to let me know so that I could be a better person and a better manager.
Well, that's wonderful. You're lucky. You know, it doesn't always happen that way.
No.
But I just want to move on to one other thing, because if you're in the world, whether it be family, management, public, sometimes conversations just don't go well.
No.
How do you recover from that when things don't go as planned?
I have a whole chapter on that. You never know how people are going to react. You're going to try the best timing and the best words, and your heart is right. And I say that you can have all those things in line. The rest is up for grabs. Because people can have all kinds of different reactions. They can say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And then they stop doing whatever they were doing. Or they could say, Or they could say, who the heck do you think you are telling me that? Or they could say nothing and just sort of walk away and think about it. You know, you really don't know how they're going to react. The important thing for the other person and for yourself is to, first of all, you have to have your motive right. So if I speak my truth to you, Steve, there's something that I have to say that you can't really fault me for that. You might, but you know, I can say what I have to say. And I did this with my children. I would tell them something. And I would say, now, you don't want to hear this, and you're probably not going to listen to me, but I have to say this because this is something that's important for me to say to you. After that, it's like I said, it's all up for grabs, and people are going to have different kinds of reactions. The thing that you can't do is take it personally. If you're sure that you took the best time and your words and emotions were correct, you have to be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
You can't control other people. They have their free will. But a lot of times, years later, somebody might come back to you and say, you know what? That time you spoke to me and you told me that, I just wanted to hit you in the nose. But I learned that was the best thing that I ever heard. You just never know how it's going to affect people.
Yeah, I've had two of those.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 6'4" and pretty big. So back then, nobody was going to hit me. But I had one young woman that I had that conversation with. And I would say for 2 weeks, she was, I'm going to say, gave me stink eye. And even when it came around, but it was like 3 or 4 years later, she just kind of broke down one day at one of these meetings where everybody honored her. And she says, I can't thank you enough for actually saying those things to me. And she goes, I hated you for months, but now I can see the wisdom in that. And I was like, oh, really? She was, I mean,
It's a risk. Yeah.
So that I'll always remember. That was pretty cool. I want to also say this. Sexual harassment in the workplace, you never want to have happen. But a lot of times people don't realize they're doing it, whatever it is. I don't want to say this wrong, but what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I've got a whole chapter on that. You know, it's important for you to speak out. I say silence is also communication. If you don't say anything, everybody thinks, oh, that's okay. Somebody's saying dirty words to you or they're making innuendos and you don't say anything. The other person, like you said, they could be clueless. You know, they've been doing this for years. Well, they think, oh, she likes it or it's not a bad thing. You have to be able to speak up. And there's several different ways you can do that. If you don't like what the conversation is going on, you can just remove yourself from it. Say, you know, I feel differently about this, or I don't feel comfortable in this situation or this conversation, and you can leave. If it's something that you really need to talk to somebody, you really need to say, stop, I don't like this conversation. But you have to tell them what you don't like, also how it affects you. And also the most important thing is the kind of treatment that you expect. What is your expectation? So if you have this guy, you know, coming on to you or whatever, or a woman, you can say, you know, I need for you to stop right now. I am not comfortable with that kind of talk. I am not interested in that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. And it actually makes me feel uncomfortable working with you in this situation. Going forward, what I would like you to do is I would like you to stick to the situation or stick to what we're talking about in our meetings or stick to other subjects. And I also expect for you to respect my concerns and my wishes and to treat me respectfully.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, you got to say it. Otherwise, they won't know.
If you've been listening to what Mary just said, it's almost like a process. If you could say, hey, this is what's happening. It's not acceptable. Here's how it affects me. And this is how I want to move moving forward. It's just a process. It's not like it's a skill that you can develop to turn on when you need to turn on. So, you know, I highly recommend you get the book. That being said, Mary, how can people get your book?
Yeah, say it now. Say it right. How to Handle Tough or Tender Conversations. It's available on Amazon.com, on Barnes & Noble. And if you don't have it in your bookstore wherever you live, go in there and ask for it. They'll order some copies. It's on Kindle and it's also on paperback. If you would like to have a signed copy, you can send me an email. My email is just mary@maryjnester.com. We can get that out to you. That would be lovely. Also, you can find it on my website, which is maryjnester.com.
If somebody's looking for a consultant, a trainer, or a coach to help them with this,
yes,
how do they go about getting a hold of you?
You can give me a call. My phone number is on the website. You can send me a message. There is a section to say book Mary or for conversations. I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because the book can also be used as a workbook and for training. I had a recent review on Amazon. She is a professor at a technical college. She is going to use my book for soft skills training because in the back of the chapters are questions. So you've already got your curriculum put together. You've got questions that you can use for your groups are at the back of each chapter. ask you, what's your situation? What do you need to say now? What words or setting do you need to say it right? You can use this as a workbook or a soft skills training. You can use it for book clubs. Again, it has the discussion questions already in it. So a lot of different ways you can use the book.
I want to thank you for being here. The information you provided is important and very on point, especially nowadays with all that's going on. Please, I recommend you go out and get the book. I've only gotten through half of it and I'm just loving it. My wife wants me to finish so she can read it, so she can learn how to talk to me, right? I'm just kidding. But again, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. I wish you well, stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure being on the show.
We'll see you. Bye-bye. That was Mary Jane Nestor. If you'd like to get her book, you can always go to Amazon. Again, the book's title is Say It Now, Say It Right. It's a wonderful book. I'm only halfway through it and can't wait to finish. With that, stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want you to welcome back to the show here. My name is Steve Sexton, and this is the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Wasn't Mary Jane Nestor just wonderful? Those helpful tips and hints can make a difference in your life, especially in work, family, business. I just want to say, I truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Google Play channel, Spotify, so you never miss a show. Hey, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV. All of these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Sexton Club at savingwithsteve.us to get all of your replays and exclusive access to our shows, videos, guest gifts, and more. Hey, we appreciate you. Now, we're going to be talking about money tips for your 40s. Now, the 40s are a turning point for most Americans. It's a time of peak earnings, and people are halfway between entering the workforce and traditional retirement age. How you can invest and save for retirement in your 40s can strongly impact your future assets. Here are 10 things you should consider to help you financially plan and build wealth in your 40s. So let's first of all talk about our emergency fund. Big expenses pop up without notice. Losing a job, whether it's a health issue, expense home repair, or company downsizing, an emergency fund provides stability in what we can be a time of chaos. While this is one of the top financial priorities at any age, a well-stocked emergency fund is especially important in the peak earning years when there can be more at stake financially and responsible for more people than in the early years. There should be enough of the funds to cover living expenses for at least 3 to 6 months. Having a cushion that lasts up to a year is the ideal situation. It's common to have education loans, car loans, mortgages, credit card debt, and other debts by the age of 40. At this point, you should have a solid financial plan for how to eliminate those debts. As you plan how to build wealth in your 40s, you should begin to shed credit card debt because it tends to have the highest interest rate. Budgeting and changing spending habits might allow you to put more money into debt reduction so you can move through your 40s owing less and less. So you want to focus on those repayments. Save for retirement in your 40s. You should have been contributing to your retirement plan since you started working.
whether it's a 401k, IRA, or something similar. If you haven't, there's still time to catch up with contributions if you begin saving for retirement at 40. Now, retirement plans have tax advantages and use the power of compounding interest to increase retirement savings over the long run. If you contribute by visiting your bank branch or your company's AR office, switch to an automatic funds transfer from each paycheck into retirement. Set it and forget it. Because you know what? When you get into saving for retirement, it's all about accumulating. The more shares you can accumulate, the better. So if the market goes down, who cares? It's actually your friend. Why is it your friend? Because you're now able to buy that same stock, that same mutual fund at a steep discount. That's what it's all about. Because you know what? In the future, the value is going to be higher, which means you've accumulated more. This is a big thing. So you don't want to be in a position where you have to think about it. You just want to do it. Now, consider investing in your 40s outside normal retirement accounts. It's important to invest outside of retirement as well. Federal laws limit how much you can save for retirement and tax advantage accounts once you've maxed that out, or even before. Consider investing in other investment accounts. If you have kids and you want them to go to college, set up a 529 plan that has tax advantage and benefits for those compounded growth. Given the college tuition fees continue to rise, the account makes less stress when it's time to determine college funding options. Next, look at possibly utilizing life insurance or cash value life insurance. You can contribute for 5, 6, 7, or even 10 years and put yourself in a position where you can get tax-free withdrawals for the remainder of your life. What does it do for you? If you have a portion that's taxable and a portion that's not taxable, you have the ability to reduce your tax obligation when you're in retirement, which makes for a better retirement, longer lasting assets, the whole shot. An estate plan and will, a bevy of documents will help in your family in the event of your death or incapacitation. The first item you need to get is a trust. Second one is a will. Third one is a power of attorney over financial and health. I recommend everybody have a do not resuscitate. Okay, so let's talk about this. If you have a trust, that means your estate avoids probate. If you don't have anything in a trust and you pass away and have a family, you could put yourself in a position where your wife has a mess to deal with, especially when it comes to the house, the finances. In addition to that, if you get an accident and you're unable to make decisions for yourself, you know, having a durable power of attorney over your finance or health gives somebody the ability to make healthcare decisions, fight with the insurance company, make sure you get the proper care. When it comes to your financial decisions, if you're not able to make those decisions, they have the ability to take care of your taxes, pay your bills, make sure you have a life. If you don't have those documents, guess who gets to make those decisions for you? The state of California or whatever state you live in. You want them to do that for you? If not, make sure you get a will, trust, power of attorneys over financial and health, and a do not resuscitate if you don't want to have you or your loved ones deal with the seventh surgery for something that's not going to do you any good. Next, life insurance. You should already have health insurance for you and your family. Having life insurance is a crucial part of a financial plan in your 40s. Whether it's a term policy or permanent, life insurance can provide a death benefit to your beneficiaries, which can be used for household expenses, education, mortgage, and funeral expenses. There's a lot of people I've worked with over the years that we've set up these cash value life insurance plans. And basically what they're designed to do is where they fund them over time. But if something happens before they retire, like in their 40s or 50s, there's a big pile of money that goes tax-free to the surviving spouse, which enables that surviving spouse to take care of the kids, the college, the funds they need to live the life. It is self-completing. So you really want to think about those things. At minimum, if you get a term policy, make sure it's at least 10 times your annual income. That way, it'll take care of the loved ones you need. Disability insurance. Disability insurance provides income in the event you're no longer able to work due to illness or injury. Many companies provide policies through work, though you may want to increase coverage to get your own if you work for yourself. Really, what it is this. We've seen people here with the pandemic. We've seen people, and you hear about people getting in car accidents and other things. If they become disabled, in fact, I have a niece that's been disabled for 2 years because of a carpal tunnel issue. She's had those disability payments through her work. And on top of that, to make sure she's not missing a beat financially, otherwise she would be financially ruined. So it's important to take a look at those things. The expense might be worthwhile. Meet with a financial professional. Whether you have a financial professional you consult with
frequently, or you just go one time a year, or just go once every 3 years. It's helpful to get a professional's opinion how to best handle your finances and to enter your peak earning years and begin to look at retirement. Having a financial professional to consult with about investing in your 40s is a wise idea. The reality is most financial professionals look at the big picture. They're going to look at your investments, your potential income. They're going to look at your how to deal with the health issues, your estate, your taxes. They're going to look at 5 or 6 different things and make sure everything's holistically planned in unison to make sure you're getting where you want to go. Because if one of those things is out of balance, you might be having some problems in retirement. Next, maximize your company benefits. Many people just don't do this. This is nuts. Okay. Companies provide additional benefits up to 20, 30% of somebody's base pay. Think about it. You have a 401k and they match. If they're matching 6% of your compensation and you're making $150,000, that's $8,000 a year that they're going to put towards your 401k. So match it. It's money and it's free money. Next, you might include tuition reimbursement. It's time to go get that advanced degree. Go for the tuition reimbursement. Childcare expenses, healthcare expenses, the health savings accounts, the TSA accounts. These are all designed to help you pay bills at a lower cost. So take advantage of it. Go to your company's HR. See what makes sense to benefit you, because you just don't want your money falling through the cracks, especially when you can use somebody else's money and their benefits that are designed for you. Last but not least, let's look at saving for a house. If buying a house makes sense for your financial situation and location, and you're in your 40s, hey, it's a good time to get started and get serious. It's a good idea to save 20% for a down payment. With that amount, you'll avoid paying what's called private mortgage insurance, affectionately known as PMI, with additional costs for some, which protects the mortgage company if you default in payment. If you're putting 20% down, you don't have to spend the extra money because, quite frankly, to me, it's a waste of money. Now, the reality is this is a long list of things to do, okay? You don't have to do them all at once. Chances are you're already on track with many of these things. The key here, if you're teeing yourself for financial success, consider all these factors. Look at the ones you are doing, look at the ones you aren't doing, and start doing it. One of the big things that you can do for yourself is make sure you're consistently on track. That means track your progress, at least on a quarterly basis, making adjustments to help you get where you want to go. That's my segment here for the Saving with Steve show. Stick with us. We're going to have Chris Kless talking to you about how to save a ton on travel. So hold on. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I've been waiting all day for this. It's travel season. People love to travel. How would you like to travel the world for pennies on the dollar? We have Coach Chris here to talk about the benefits of travel. He's going to teach you the insider tips, tricks that will show you and amaze you and get you going on vacations you so well deserve. I just want to make sure everybody's listening. You're going to hear some things here. You go, hey, maybe that's not true. But you know what? When I was having a conversation with Chris, he said, here, go use this code. Go sign up for this. I signed up for this credit card. It gave me 60,000 American American Airline points. But you guys don't realize that's enough to take me and my wife to Europe for free. So I'm sold. And the cool thing about it, he doesn't really make his money off coaching individuals. He makes it with corporate speaking gigs and things like that. So we're really thankful he's here. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here. I've listened to a lot of your episodes since I got connected with you, and I know you provide value to all your listeners. Your show's growing, and that's what it's all about, providing the value of money. We're all struggling. A lot of us are still struggling in this hard times.
Yep, that's true. But if you can go on vacation for a lot less than what you thought, people can go on more vacations. Now, since my listeners haven't heard you before, you're an AT&T marketing executive, and then you transition, and now you're the number one travel guru and coach. So tell us about that transition.
Yeah, well, I've always loved travel. It's been in my blood. I was fortunately, when I was brought up, I remember 12 years old, spending 4 weeks, you know, with my parents in Europe. I'm a golfer. I got to travel on business. It's in my blood. I live in Florida now, but I've always been a part of New York and a Broadway scene as an ex-conductor. That was part of my military service, conducting a military band. So I just love the aspects of travel. One of my mantras, I say, are the best things in life aren't the material things. They're not this hell. This is a $35 Costco watch. It ain't no Rolex. But the best things in life are your friends, your health, your family, and those precious memories and experiences. And we all know a lot of those precious memories and experiences revolve around travel. Whether it be a wedding, graduation, a family vacation, a reunion, et cetera. And especially now when we've been with this COVID situation, a lot of us have been stuck in our homes for 14, 16 months. And now with the vaccinations, we now can travel. So it becomes that more important to reunite, to get these precious memories and experiences with our families and friends, because we really do travel not to escape life, but for life not to escape us. But what's the problem? Like you said, that's what your show is all about. How do we afford it? It's expensive. So that's what I speak about on stage. You don't have to be rich to live rich. That's what I'm all about.
I love that. And I also agree with you 100% on you walk out in a box, and in many cases, you can't take the watch and the belongings, and you really only reflect upon the memories, the relationships that you have. So I'm a cancer survivor, so I totally agree with that. So let's get into travel. What are the top three travel tips for families to save the maximum money on their travel?
Well, basically, the most expensive aspects of travel are airfares and accommodations. So I'll hit on those two. Number one, airfares. Now it's supply and demand. We're in the capitalistic system. Airfares are rising. They're booked to take a family on a vacation, whether you go to Hawaii, to Caribbean, Europe, et cetera, it's expensive. Well, with Coach Chris, this is the truth. I haven't paid for a flight in 14 years. I fly for free, and I'm not married to a flight attendant. And here's the background. Every airline is associated with a bank, has their own credit card. And a lot of these airlines have huge sign-up bonuses. You get their credit card. As you're in the financial business, you know, obviously, you pay the credit card off at the end of the month. You know, you don't pay interest on any credit card, number one. Number two, you do got to keep a decent credit score when you apply to credit cards. But, you know, if you have a credit score of 700, so every airline has its associated credit card. For instance, Delta is with American Express. They have about three credit card options where you spend $2,000 in 3 months and get 70,000 Delta Sky Miles. United has a credit card. Southwest Airline is with Chase Bank, and they have a variety of credit cards where you could actually spend their minimum amount over a period of time and wind up with enough points now, they call them rapid reward points, where you and a companion can fly for free. Even the cheaper airlines, the low-cost airlines, Spirit, Frontier, etc. So my advice to your audience and listeners, pick the airline where you want to fly to your destination and investigate what credit card options, the promotions are available to get the sign-up bonuses. I mentioned to you in our call, the best one out there, I fly frequently, is American, because I'm here in Florida and I have a place in Lake Tahoe and I go to Vail. I'm a ski bum. You could actually fly free like I do on American for buying a pack of gum. That approves you. That gets you a credit card, one billing cycle. Like you said, I showed you 60,000 miles roll into your account. That's a round trip ticket to Hawaii. You leverage this with your family, your wife, or your grown children. That just multiplies, and you're flying first class around the world. And you take it one step further. Even if you have a business like I do, you're an entrepreneur, solo entrepreneur, you get the business card. card. Okay, you might have to spend $1,000, but hell, that's, you know, gas, restaurant money for a month or 2 months and get another $60,000 or $70,000. So every airline is associated, has a bank, has a credit card. So my advice, again, just to sum it up, choose your destination, what airlines fly there, where you want to vacation, where you travel to with your family or on business, get their credit card startup. These are promotional bonuses. They change. A lot of these things are on resources that I show people on different blogs because they change. I recently just re-upped on another Delta card. I got 70,000 miles. That's a round trip to just about any place for spending $2,000. I put my homeowner's insurance on a credit card, which was like $2,500. That made the minimum, and I fly for free. So in other words, your audience, myself, yourself, if you have a credit score 700, don't overdo it. Get a few of these airline credit cards, and then you wind up flying for free. Your family flies for free. And if you have a business, get the business version of the credit card, and you don't have to worry.
You basically said, hey, look, you can get an individual and a business card. You can get 60 or 70,000 miles each. But the important thing that you said there is you don't have to go and buy travel or dinner out or whatever. You could use that credit card for your everyday expenses and obviously just pay it off at the end of the month.
Correct.
By doing so, you're not buying anything special. You're just using it on your everyday expenses. And you're gaining 120,000 miles goes a long way. So if you're doing it on multiple airlines, I mean, 350,000 miles just on doing that on three airlines. Wow, you could fly a lot of places for nothing, which is wonderful. That's
what I've been doing. For instance, to give you another idea, like I fixed this client up I had before COVID. His goal was to take his son to as many baseball parks in the summer. He wanted to travel and he loved baseball. And I tailored a plan for him where he could get a few credit cards, spend the minimum, put, you know, his insurance on there, his car insurance, his homeowner's insurance, any large expenses, his utilities, et cetera. He wound up with enough credits or miles to fly him and his son to five or six destinations for free with Southwest. And also with these credit cards, another advantage, for instance, I mentioned the American Airlines, you don't pay for baggage check-in. That's the benefit of the credit card. You also get free baggage check-in. So if you're a family of four, let's say $30 times four, $120 each way. And in addition, you get priority boarding. After first class boards, they allow the credit card holders with that airline, it's like loyalty, to board. So you're not fighting for that overhead compartment space when all the planes are filled. That's another advantage. These promotions change. You have to stay on top of it, but you can, like I do, and I've showed you how you can fly for free.
Chris, I don't want you to go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back, everybody, with more Coach Chris.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We have Chris Kress here, Coach Chris. He's given us wonderful travel tips already. Next one is on accommodation, because that's the other big expense. So what tips do you have for accommodations?
Yeah, that's the second biggest travel expense. I travel vacation before COVID, 19 weeks a year, and I'm not a Motel 6 guy. I like first class, you know, 4-star, 5-star resorts. And here's the biggest tip. When you're going on that typical family vacation, I'm not talking about a 2-day trip or et cetera. I show you how to stay in hotels for free the way I do. But the big tip here, the typical 5-7-night family vacation reunion, forget the word hotel. Strike it from your vocabulary. You hear Coach Chris, travel coach, forget the word hotel for your saying. Why? Because Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, Westin, Disney, Starwood, Wyndham, even the Ritz-Carlton, they all have timeshares or vacation club type products. And you could get on the internet. Here's a resource for your listeners. Redweek.com, R-E-D-W-E-E-K.com, and rent a timeshare from an owner. Why not stay in a 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom unit at a luxury resort, get a full kitchen, flat screen TVs, 3 flat screen TVs, washer, dryer, full resort amenities. And here's an example. I set it up for my friends. I do it for myself. I'm a ski bum. I've been doing it for 20 or 30 years. Let's use Vail as an example. Everybody heard of Vail. Number one, we're talking a luxury ski resort, a hotel room from the Marriott in Vail, ski season, $750 a night. Okay. And by the way, another $50 to park your car. Half mile down the road, you go on the internet and you could rent a 1 or 2-bedroom unit, Marriott, same beds, Marriott standards, sleeps 4, 6, 8, 3 flat screen TVs, a wood burning fireplace, the woods for free, underground parking. It sleeps 4, 6, or 8, full kitchen, washer and dryer, and you're going to pay half that price for that night that you do from the hotel. And you're going to get a clubhouse, full resort amenities, and like I do in Vail. Indoor, outdoor pool, sauna, steam room, free transportation. You don't have to own these timeshares. You could rent them from an owner that's not using them. And the best resource for that is redweek.com. And these timeshares, well, hotels now, because of the bad aspect, people think of the high sales pressure of timeshares, they change them to vacation clubs. And here's the other thing, safety. We're all concerned about safety now. In COVID, some people don't want to go out and be in crowds and dinner. You have a family, etc. By having the full kitchen and all the amenities, you don't have to go out to restaurants. It's another savings. You could cook there. They all have balconies, resort activities. I spend literally months in these timeshares. I live in Florida and my son comes down. We're in the ocean front on the beach overlooking the ocean with full resort amenities for less than Motel 6 prices. So for that family vacation now, go to redweek.com, any destination. They all have, whether it's Hawaii, the Caribbean, Europe, Disney World, if you're a golfer, Hilton Head, even New York, where I am in Palm Beach area, Florida, ski resorts. Think about, instead of the hotels, rent somebody's timeshare or vacation club. You're going to get triple the space, triple the amenities for 1/3 the price of a hotel room. And most families, your listeners, you know, you want to take the kids, the grandkids are all there. You got 3 TVs. When I go to Vail, I feel like I'm Donald Trump. I got a wood burning fireplace. I bring the damn luggage cart down to the garage and I load it up with firewood. Hell, 4 logs in the grocery store cost $5. I probably burn $100 worth of firewood at night there. It's all luxury and you don't pay tax on this, resort fees. You live in pure luxury. It's the only way to go for travel when you're looking at families, this alternative. And the hotel chains, there's a lot of timeshares out there. I would recommend staying with the major hotel chains, the Marriotts, the Hiltons, the Hyatts, you know, the Westins. And this way you're going to get that perfection, sanitization, that cleanliness standard that you expect.
You talked about redweek.com to go and find that. Now, what other blog or travel sites to get the current best deals for travel?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question. It's like a drug. I read 50 of them a day. They're all out there. One is if you want to learn how to fly for free with your family, travelgal.com. She has a program. She's the expert in Southwest that she shows you how to take your family rarely anywhere in the world. Travelgal.com. There's miles2memories.com. Johnny Jet has a travel blog that's very useful. There's another one called 10xtravel.com. 10x. You could Google this. I think it's 10x travel that has all these travel deals. Travel Pulse, P-U-L-S-C, is another blog. There's about 20 of them. And to make it simple, for those families that are traveling, that plan on a lot of vacations, Another one, if you use the timeshares, that I think is excellent, is TUG, Timeshare Users Group, TUG.org. They list timeshares for rent, for sale. And if you get into the timeshare routine and you know the ins and outs and you get into the system, you could buy a timeshare now for $1. Just pay the maintenance. Then you're part of the exchange program. They run all sorts of, they call them getaway specials, where you could stay in Las Vegas for a week now in a one-bedroom unit with a kitchen for $300. It's a game. You have to know the inside secrets. In other words, it's possible out there really to travel in this luxury surroundings. These are all luxury resorts now for pennies on a dollar. I'm a golfer too. I live at a golf resort. I show some of my clients, I've done it myself, Hilton Head. Everybody knows Hilton Head. They play, if you're a golfer, the week after the Masters, they play the Harbortown Classic at Hilton Sea Pines. You could stay at a Marriott, again, timeshare vacation club resorts, Sleeps 8, okay? Mm-hmm. Take all your buddies golfing, your family's golfing. The golf is free. The carts are free. You get $2,000 worth of golf expenses for free by just staying there. And you don't have to own, just rent from an owner.
That's
so that's another tip. You could basically do whatever you want in luxury by utilizing timeshares or vacation clubs. The new verbiage now is vacation clubs.
So the key here is to just look for the deals, find the best places, but stick to the ones you know and don't go off any of the crazy ones because you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah. There's a lot of timeshares out there, but I believe in luxury. I stick to the major, the Westins, the Marriott, you know, like Marriott has like, I think, 40 locations, et cetera. And you know, the standards. Another word of warning, a lot of people are into Airbnb now, but with this COVID pandemic, a lot of times you don't know what you're going to get in somebody's home. You're not going to get full resort amenities. By staying at these resorts, you're going to get the whole plethora of resort amenities. You're going to get the TVs, the washer and dryers, the privacy. You're going to get a workout room, et cetera, transportation. It's going to work out for you.
The big question a lot of our viewers had is, how will travel change in the next 12 months? And the other part is, how do you plan for your dream vacation? I want to let you know, we have about 2 minutes to go before we're closing out the show, but I'd love if you can fit that in there.
Yeah, I think traveling, again, you have to plan in advance. You got to execute. It's three aspects of travel. Plan the damn trip. You know when your children's vacations are, got to plan in advance to save money to get that accommodation. If you want to go Christmas time, et cetera, that's number one. And now obviously you get the adventure and the experiences. And with all these gadgets now, we share them. We capture the experiences, build a legacy. Mm-hmm. So plan as far in advance that you want to go to a destination, pick it out. Travel is, we're calling it revenge travel. Now that the pandemic's done and people are vaccinated, you're going to see more people that have been cooped up now traveling. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be more expensive. You got to plan ahead to get the best deal.
Coach Chris, how do people get a hold of you? How do you work with people? I know you're just there to help. So how does that work?
Yeah, normally, like I said, I'm a professional speaker. So if any of your listeners have corporate events, association events where they think this topic would be of relevance, by all means, give me a call. My email, lifetimeleisure.net. But I'm offering your listeners a free consultation with Coach Chris because everybody's travel needs and dreams are different. So if they go, I set up a separate URL, coachchrisspeaks.com. Book a 15-minute call with me and I'll be glad to answer any of your questions. Guide you in the right way, give you the resource. I repeat, coachchrisspeaks.org. Answer a few questions about your where you want to travel, how many in your travel party. Book the call. I'll give you a call back and we'll take it from there to see any ways I can help you. Because, you know, that's what we're here to do. My mission statement is we're here, my company, Lifetime Leisure Experiences. We look forward to servicing your dreams and bringing your family together so their memories last forever. And a lot of that is through travel and leisure.
Yep. Chris, I want to thank you for being part of our show today. In fact, I'd like to have you come back for every new travel season just so we can get people excited about it and show them how to save some money. So hopefully you'll be able to do that if you're not skiing or golfing or going somewhere else and enjoying yourself. Again, I want to thank you for being part of the show. I wish you health and safety, safe travel, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Like I said, I could speak hours on this. Again, the benefits of travel for your health, your wellness, that taking that vacation, you're better at your job, reduce stress, etc. It's all there. Better relationships, how important travel and leisure is. is, but it has to be affordable. You don't want to break the bank. So you have to know the deals. That's why you have me. We coach the deals.
Thanks, Coach Chris. Have a good day. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
You know, wasn't Coach Chris wonderful? You listened to this again and again because he gave wonderful tips. Hey, I want to thank you all for joining us today. Wasn't Mary J. Nestor just wonderful? How to say it right. That's a big thing. When to say it, having the courage to say it. Those are wonderful things. And then we have Chris Kress that showed us how we can save a ton on travel. Whether your travel season is right now, January or July, it doesn't matter. You can save a ton. Now, I want you to stick around for next week. We have Brian Cannon of Cannon Advisory. He's going to be talking to us about the supply chain issues, inflation, what you can do with his investments. He comes from Cannon Advisory. He's a very highly sought after financial advisor, certified financial planner. It's going to be worth the wait. Again, next week, we're going to be talking about money. So that's it for me here with the Saving with Steve Show. My name is Steve Sexton, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.